brand new week of Cycle Talk SA. I'm Brad Brown, your host. Thank you so much for joining us this week. And another pretty cool show lined up for you. I chat to Jay Thompson from Team MTN Quebec. He landed back in the country a week ago. I thought it'd be off season. Turns out it's not. He's training for the Tour of Rwanda. I had a really cool chat with Jay this week. And then also found out about a brand new road stage race called the Tour of Stellenbosch that's coming up in just a couple of weeks' time. I touched base with Eric Kleinhans to find out more about that one as well. Before we get into this week's show, I mentioned it last week, our Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge charity wager. There is a few names on that list. We need a lot more, and I need your help in order to give some bucks to a charity, and it could be a charity of your choice. If you want to find out more about it, if you're riding the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge anyway, all you need to do is go over to cycletalksa.co.za/charity. It's for a bit of fun. All I need you to do is predict your finishing time, put $100 into the pot, and choose a charity of your choice. If you're the person that comes closest to predicting your finishing time, you'll win the entire pot for the charity of your choice. We've done it for a couple of races. We've done it for the Comrades Marathon this year. We did it for Ironman South Africa and got a good few $1,000 to a charity, and it could be yours. So what you need to do is head over to that website. It's www.cycletalksa.co.za/charity and just pop your details on that list. Who knows? You could be winning some money for a well-deserved charity. So without further ado, let's get straight into this week's show. As always, if you'd like to be in touch in the meantime, at Cycle Talk SA on Twitter. You can also email us podcast@cycletalksa.co.za. Let's kick things off with Jay Thompson. Chatting to Jay Thompson this week on the show, and Jay's just arrived back in South Africa after a pretty successful season with Team MTN Quebec on the European circuit. And touch base with Jay earlier this morning. He was back on the bicycle. I thought, oh, it's off season, he'll be chilling, but no, still riding. Jay, welcome onto the show. Thanks for chatting to us today.
Oh, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back home.
Jay, I touched base with you this morning just to sort of see if it would be possible to chat, and I was quite surprised to hear you on the bike, but you've got a race coming up in a couple of weeks that you're still sort of ticking over for. Tell us about the Tour of Rwanda and what you're looking forward to.
Look, we've got Tour of Rwanda that starts on the 17th of November to the 24th. We are keeping the legs turning over, you know, so we don't go there and, you know, suffer too badly, but yeah, it's should be quite an interesting one. It's 8 days, I think just short of 900 k, so 8 days and 1 day, you know, only a little 4 k prologue, so it shouldn't be too wild, but yeah, you can't expect it to be easy either. You know, Africa's becoming more of an emerging racing place to go, so you don't want to go there as a, you know, as cabin fodder. You want to go there and win races and do stuff. So obviously us as MTN Quebec, we've got a plan to step and go there and try and put something together.
Great. Joe, we'll chat about cycling in Africa in just a mo, but you mentioned just before we started recording that it's just so lucky to be home, and there's something about Africa. I mean, you've been gone for a while now. It must be good to sort of be in familiar surroundings again.
Yeah, there is something about Africa. You know, when you land in the airport at Owatemba, you can feel you're home. I don't know. Maybe it is just because it's home that feels so good, but yeah, that's just, I don't know. Maybe it's fun that just makes us just feel good to be home.
Jay, let's talk about the season you've had personally with MTN Quebec. I mean, how would you sum it up? I mean, as far as your cycling career goes, would you say it's been the best season you've had so far?
It's a roller coaster for me. You know, it started out with a bang. I couldn't have asked for a better start for the season. You know, second in the individual time trial essays and then winning the road race. You can't ask for a better start. I couldn't have made a better script for myself. And then went over to Europe and just one after another, I just got sick and, you know, battled with health problems probably for about 6 months. I don't know if I was just too skinny going over to Lille, or, you know, the weather was just that terrible in the beginning of the year when we arrived over there. You know, my body took a beating going over, and I battled for a while, but then, you know, they could still be there, and you know, you're there, but you're not doing what you really want to do. So from the perspective of my season, I think it was pretty mediocre to bad besides the start, you know, and then the end I started going alright, but you know, in the middle I was, you know, very disappointed with the way my season went because of all the illnesses and stuff that I went through, but you know, I can't complain. I'm still on my bike and I'm still loving it and I keep on going and keep on doing what I've been doing and hopefully one day it pays off and I have a better season next year and, you know, just to repay the team for what they've done, put their trust in me, you know, you always want to give back to the team.
That's probably one of the things that's really tough. I mean, you say you're still loving what you're doing and it's probably the same for any professional sports person that as soon as it starts feeling like work and you don't really feel like doing, that's probably time to pack it in.
No, I think so. You know, I always think to my dad, the day I wake up and I don't want to get on my bike, that's the day I start deciding what I'm going to do after, you know, what am I going to do after riding? Because, you know, that's when you actually, when you wake up and you just deep down inside, you just like really, really, really don't want to get on your bike. I know we all go through those days where you don't want to ride because it's raining outside or whatever, but you still, you know, you still love it. But the day that love disappears, you know, then that's, I suppose, the day you stop. And we all hope that it never comes, but yeah, we just hope that it, you know, stays away longer than what you expect.
Jay, you mentioned it was, I mean, you used the word mediocre season for you. I mean, it started off great, but as far as the team goes, I mean, for Team MT in Quebec, it's been a groundbreaking year and exciting. I mean, it's been a great year and looking ahead to next year, but this past year has been phenomenal for the team.
Oh, this, you know what? Somebody had written down what we have done this year as a team and said to me in January, this is what's going to happen. I would have probably laughed. I would have said, no way. You know, I've raced over there already and I've seen what it's like and I know what it's like over there. And I'm like, you know, for a new team, young team to do what we did this year was incredible. You know, just the way it started with Gerald winning I think it was the 3 days of West London and then just going from there, Milan San Remo, podium in Torino, Dredico, you know, and just the phenomenal season we had with Sergio winning stages and leading the overall at Tour Portugal. It's just, you know, the team, I think just, we had a breakout season. So to go forward, I think it's just, you know, we can just keep on going and keep on trying what we've been doing and I'm sure it's going to carry on working. You can't, obviously, you know, we all want to have better, better, better seasons, but to have a season better than what we've just had is, it's going to be harder, but, you know, maybe we can have it better in a different way.
Let's look ahead to 2014. I mean, you talk about having it better in a different way. Next year is going to be tough. There's no two ways about it. I spoke to Douglas Ryder, team principal of the team, probably about a month, 6 weeks ago, and he was talking about sort of the long-term plans and where he sees the team going and where it's come from and the opportunities that were afforded to MTN Quebec and some of the opportunities that were offered and were turned down with regards to riding in the big tours this year. And Douglas was saying he wanted to make sure that this young team was ready when the opportunity actually came and they wanted to be there on merit and not just because they've got a cool story. So, I mean, next year is going to be a big year. There's talk of you guys riding grand tours next year. Do you think this year the groundwork that was laid in 2013 is going to stand you guys well for 2014?
Yes, definitely. You know, look, as you say, you know, you spoke to Doug and with all those things, I think it was it was wise not to do any of the grand tours this year. I think we were a young team. We are still, you know, you have to find your feet in Europe. You can't just go in there and go, bang, okay, now we're going to race with the best in the world and just keep on competing. So, you know, I think this year what we've done, we've really set the foundation for the next couple of years and where the team's going to go and how far it can actually go. You know, I think I honestly really and truly believe that next year if we do get a Grand Tour start, we're not going to just be the guys that are just there to hang on to finish the race. You know, we've got guys that are challenging to win stages. Maybe not with the GT just yet, but in that same breath, I'll say, you know, Linus Gerdeman is showing that he's a great tour rider and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, now we maybe have with him and Sergio a chance, and also with the likes of Jacques Jansen van Rensburg and Dennis van Niekerk, we've got great timers. And then obviously our phenomenal little timer, Louis Meintjes, you know, you can't count him out as doing something at a grand tour. You know, you can't put pressure on him to win it, but if you go and do a good result or do something in shape in the mountain stages, I think it's possible that if you had to take a team there next year, we wouldn't just be hanging on just to finish, you know.
That's a like a sort of feeling to have that, knowing that you're going there not to make up the numbers, but you're going to have a shot at the odd stage and possibly threatening some of the big names in world cycling today, which is pretty exciting. And when we started chatting, you mentioned cycling in Africa. Team MTN Quebec has got an amazing story. I mean, just when I think about it, I get goosebumps of what the sort of vision was when the team started and what it's achieving on the African continent and just sort of putting belief into people that African cycling belongs on the world stage and we can dominate the world stage. It must be pretty cool to be part of that story, Jay.
I mean, yeah, when you talk about it, I said, yeah, and I get goosebumps because, you know, that's the main reason why I signed up to the team and came back to this, because just the story alone and where we're going and what we want to achieve, I just believe it's possible. You know, how can Africa have the best runners in the world and not be able to transfer that onto a bicycle? And I really believe that we as Africa haven't even tapped into what's to come. You know, it might not happen in my lifetime, but I think in the next 15, 20 years, yeah, I really believe that we're going to have a guy that's true. You know, Chris Froome is a true and true born African, but, you know, I think we're going to have an African that's an, you know, still an African that's going to win a grand tour. As I say, it might not happen in the next 5 years. It might. You never know. You know, we've got some super talented riders. We just need to, you know, with MTN, we're looking after them, which is exactly what needs to be done. And, you know, that's the hardest part because, you know, when we come from Africa, it's a lot harder for us to adjust to the cultures and the, you know, the weather and the racing and the roads and everything. It is really difficult. So, you know, we just have to keep persevering and looking after the guys that show the promise. Even the ones that don't, you know, they might have it, they just need to unlock it in them. And I believe that Africa is definitely, you know, with Chris, Reynard, Daryl, Robert, you know, they've all shown that we've got guys that can do it. We just need to stick at it and keep building teams. You know, what MTN's doing this year, you couldn't ask for a better stepping stone for Africa right now. You know, the other, you know, if I could ask anything from the rest of Africa, it would be follow in our footsteps, you know, get another team going, even if it's another one here from South Africa. Let's build, you know, let's build on it. We've got enough UCI races running through our African continent. Why can't we have more UCI African teams? There must be money somewhere, somebody willing to do it, somebody to run it up. You know, you just need somebody as passionate as Doug and you're A for a life.
Yeah, Jay, you mentioned those big names. You mentioned Chris Froome, Robbie Hunter, Daryl Impey. I mean, there's a youngster on your team who you mentioned early on, Louis Meintjes, who won silver at the under-23 World Champs. I mean, there's just so much belief as far as African cycling goes. And it was guys like Robbie Hunter, who's been around for a while now and has just hung up his wheels this year. But you look at a performance like Chris Froome's at the Tour this year and Daryl Impey being in yellow, it just sort of really makes the youngsters believe that, you know what, we belong here and we can win.
No, exactly. And you know what? I've got the most respect for Robert Hunter. You know, the way he did it the hardest way out of all of us. You know, he had to go and suffer through the hardships and the hard times and when cycling was at its worst. And, you know, he carried on and he persevered and he made a name for himself. As it's just, for me, it's really sad to see him hang up his wheels because I think he's still got at least another year or two of good racing left in him. But I'm also happy in the same way to say that he's still going to be involved in cycling to see him around. And, you know, I trained with him a lot when I was young, when we were both in South Africa. So, you know, I'm going to miss my training partner out here. But, yeah, I think he really, with Robert, I think he's really set up opened a lot of doors for us as South Africans as well, you know. And then Daryl just started making the doors bigger. And now Rainey putting his foot in there and opening another bit. Chris Froome, you know, even though he is British, they say he's British, he's born in Kenya and lived here in Joburg. So, you know, we all know that it's possible. We know all that it has to be. You know, you can do it. And when you see those guys doing it, it gives you more belief. And I think that's where Douglas has just really done a great thing for us. Setting this team up is just, yeah, words can't describe how much that actually is going to mean for Africa in the long run.
Jay, it's almost, I mean, I hear you talking about those guys and the way it started, and now all of a sudden there's more and more and more guys coming through. It's almost like South African golf. If you think back to South African golf a few years ago, it was Ernie Els and perhaps Retief Goosen every now and again was doing well. And then all of a sudden a couple more youngsters came through, Trevor Immelman, that sort of thing. And now there's a whole bunch of young South Africans on the tour who are performing well week after week after week. And cycling's on that same sort of curve where there were a few guys that started doing well. And now all of a sudden there's just more and more. And it's not just from a South African perspective, it's from an African perspective, which is really exciting. But let's talk about you personally and your sort of cycling journey and how it all started. You're a Krugersdorp boy. You went to school out in Krugersdorp High, and not traditionally a big sporting school, but there have been a couple of big sporting names that have come out of that school. I mean, Jock Green was there when I was there, and I mean, he rode professionally. He's now a professional trail runner, but he's been around for a long time. You're from there. Tell us how you got into the sport.
It's actually quite a funny story. I never wanted to actually ride a bike, so probably spent a nine, beginning of the trip. My brother got me out on a mountain bike, and I hated every second of it. I went into the mountain bike race around the first monument. I don't even know what it was, and I blistered in my hands and rode a mountain bike that had no shocks and just rode in normal trackies and shorts. You know, everything was hurting, and I hated it, and I decided, no, never again. I will not touch. I will carry on playing rugby and water polo and doing all my, you know, my sports from that side. And then, I must say, midway through my trick, my brother conned me again and got me onto a road bike. And I don't know, it was a bug that day. It must have been flying around biting people, because, I stopped training a little bit more and ended up doing the junior tour that year and got second to John Lee, or third to John Lee on the prologue in the junior tour, and I think I finished fourth or fifth overall, and after not even training, just a rugby player, 90 odd kilos, coming in and being a cyclist. It was a big change, but from then I've never looked back. Had a lot of ups and downs as my career, I can say, has gone, but you know what I've had, for me, it's been a phenomenal experience. And I think cycling teaches you a lot about life. You know, you learn the ups and downs of life at a young age, and you learn that certain things are out of your control, and you just have to keep on persevering. You know, if you want to be something, you have to keep on going. You can't just give up. And I think cycling taught me that big time. As I say, I love the sport, and I'd never look back.
Brilliant. And Jay, as far as sort of ambitions and that you've still got in the sport, I mean, you've been around, you're still one of the youngsters, but you've been around for a while. You've done a good few seasons. Well, what's next on the cards for you? I mean, what if all your wildest cycling dreams had to come true, what would you want to happen?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's something, you know, that everybody asks me that same question, and you always think about it. And for me, I've done a lot, and I really can't complain about what my career has been like. I've traveled the world. I've done some amazing races. I've been at the world champs a couple of times, and, you know, I've won a few good races. And if I had to look forward and say to myself, okay, this is what I really, really, really would love to get would be, you know, to win a classic, obviously. You know, obviously everybody would love to win one of the major big races. And for me, I would put my hands up going over the line at one of the biggest races in the world. I'd love to ride the Champs-Élysées and say I'm finishing the Tour de France, or ride into Milan, or ride into, finish in Spain. I can't even think of it right now, but yeah, for me, if I could just get to do one of the Grand Tours and actually race it, you know, give it a go at one stage, and, you know, pick my days where I can be good, because I know I'll never win it, but if I could just do that in my career in the next 5 years, or how long I've got left, I would really, really be happy. You know, I would, my cycling career would be fulfilled.
Brilliant. And then just talk us through the off season, sort of now. You're back from Europe. You've got the Tour of Rwanda coming up in a couple of weeks. And then what does the next few months look like for you before you guys head back to Europe in 2014?
Yeah, look, now just, you know, it's a bit of a time, but then, you know, also still concentrating on Tour of Rwanda. I'll come back from that, take a little bit of downtime. We have training, team training camp, and then after that, I'll look forward to obviously see what races we get, and I'll know that more at training camp. Then I can start preparing on what things, but you know, I'm pretty sure that I'll get over there for the early practice in February and really start, you know, get stuck in a bit earlier this year than last year. So last year I only got over in the middle of, I think around the 7th or 8th of March. So you miss a couple of the beginning classics and you're not so used to the cold. So I'd like to get over a bit earlier this year to get used to that cold weather. And so yeah, my plan for next year is obviously still a very broad one and when I want to be really great. But obviously if we do get the Giro, that would be my wild dream to be on the start line there next year. So, obviously we have to wait to see for that, but I can build, I'd love to be able to use the classics and the spring races to build up towards being good for the Giro.
Awesome.
Jay Thompson, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I look forward to seeing you out in the cradle over the next couple of months, just doing a bit of base work. Be looking out for you. It's always awesome seeing the guys back from Europe and doing some riding out there as well. So, definitely chat again soon and all the best for the coming years.
Yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Good to be on the show.
We've got some amazing races in this country, and there's lots of multi-day stage races in the mountain biking fraternity. Not many in the road cycling sort of scene, but there is one that's on the calendar, and it looks pretty exciting, and it's great to have Eric Kleinans from the Tour of Stellenbosch on the show this week. Eric, thanks for joining us, and I appreciate your time, mate.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Eric, tell me a little bit about the Tour of Stellenbosch. It sounds fantastic. I mean, Stellenbosch is such a beautiful part of the country. There's great roads. Never mind the trails. I mentioned the mountain biking, but there's some great roads out in that part of the world. Tell us a little bit about the tour and how it's going to be made up.
Well, I think, like you all know, Stellenbosch is quite a big cycling venue or town. So I think it's the perfect place to host a road stage race. I mean, we've got a lot of mountain bike races in this area, but the one thing we really lack is a good road stage race. So first of all, I think the venue is fantastic for something like this. Yeah, then we're doing this with, we got the sponsor, Chaz Everett, who was very keen on getting involved and organizing something like this. And they support a charity with the name of the Give Me a Chance Foundation. So it actually all fitted in fantastic, and we got great partners with us. So, yeah, and then Cycling RSA, which organized a lot of road races in the Western Cape, in the Boerland area lately, they involved with organizing it, and they've got a very good track record. So with them organizing it and, you know, good financial backing, I think the event will be fantastic.
Sounds cool. Talk me through the 3 days. What's on the cards?
Well, the first day is a relatively flat stage, a little bit rolly like the Boerland is. But it's most likely going to be a sprinter strongman finish. So it's about 110 kilometers, and it's just through the winelands around Stellenbosch, and it finishes at the Lepomie Wine Estate at the backside of Elswichte. The second day, we do 3 laps, which goes around the Simonsberg, which is a very famous mountain close to Stellenbosch. It's also hilly, but it goes over the Elswichte Pass 3 times. And on the 3rd time that you go up the pass, you'll finish at the top at the Luvia Wine Estate, which is also a venue partner of the event. And then the last day is about a 20K time trial, which starts at the very newly built Bergrivier Dam, and it also finishes at the Lepomie Wine Estate. So it's end of the season. We know we're not going to have very long stages, so it's quite intermediate, but it's definitely going to be exciting racing, and the courses are made for, you know, not like a bit more aggressive riding. So I think it's going to be very good.
Gee, it sounds amazing. You talk about the wine estates for someone and the mountains, Elswichte. It sounds for someone from Joburg, it sounds terrible, man. I don't know how you guys live down there. It sounds horrible.
Yeah, well, you know, I also think so, but no, I think it's. I think the venue is here, and I mean, especially with the Cape having so much rain lately, I mean, I'm sure the sun is going to stick his nose out soon. I mean, it's been showing it a lot now lately, but it's so green and beautiful in the Cape that I think it's going to be, you know, perfect for a road stage tour.
Eric, when is this all happening, eh?
It's happening between the Double Century and the Burger Fietstour. So it's on the 26th or the 28th of November. So it could actually be in the same time, Stellenbosch is busy planning a bike week, something like the Sea Otter Classic and the Roc d'Azur that you have in France. So Stellenbosch is planning, with a few event organizers, they're planning a whole big bike festival for a week long. And it's only going to happen next year, but a few of the events are getting together to organize something a little bit smaller this year already. So there will be a road tour, and also the Origins of Trails, the new mountain bike event, as well as, you know, Die Burger, which also will most likely fall part of this whole bike week in Stellenbosch.
Gee, it sounds awesome, and there's so many cool things happening down there, Eric. I'm uber jealous. And as far as riding, are there still entries? Can people still get in touch with you?
Yeah, they're more than welcome. Our website is called stellenboschcycling.co.za, so it's quite simple. Entries will still be open until right up to the event, so people are welcome to speak to us. We also have partners in the Bangkok Valley with accommodation that can, you know, that can maybe help. It's very good quality accommodation, but we could maybe help with discounted, you know, beds. So guys are very welcome to speak to me, and yeah, we'll put them in touch with whatever they need.
That sounds awesome. And it's not just elite guys. I mean, anybody can come and do this. They've got to have some level of fitness, obviously, to be able to ride three straight days. And that second day sounds quite tough. So they've got to have some fitness, but it's pretty much open to anyone.
Yeah, as long as you have a CSA license, you're welcome to come and ride. I mean, it is a race. It's not just a fun ride. So you must have a relatively good fitness. And then there will be a junior category, elite category, sub-vet, and you know, 40-plus veterans. Most likely, depending on the amount of riders that enter, it will be all in one bunch. And then, you know, you'll just get your prize for the different categories. But if there is a big demand for the vets, then most likely we will split the elites from the vets. But it all depends on numbers for the first year.
All right, cool. Well, it is a brand new race. And if you are thinking about doing it, I'd suggest sort out accommodation and entries in that now, because there's only a few weeks to go. Eric Kleinans, it sounds awesome, man. I'd love to hear how it goes and maybe touch base afterwards just to find out sort of exactly how it went and what you guys have learnt out of it, and perhaps what you can change or improve for 2014.
Yeah, I'm welcome to share that with you.
Brilliant. Eric Kleinans, thank you so much. What I'll do as well is I'll put the link to that website on our website. So if people want to find out more, and if perhaps they want to enter, they can just link straight through from the show notes to this episode. Eric, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time, mate.
Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap for this week's show. Thanks a lot to Jay and to Eric for letting us know what's happening in their world of cycling this week. Look forward to next week's show. It should be pretty interesting. I've got a guest lined up. We haven't done the interview yet, but I'm hoping that it comes through, and it's going to be a fascinating chat on doping. Someone who was caught doping, received a ban for it on the professional circuit. And yeah, we're going to get him to come totally clean, find out exactly what happened, how it happened, what happened. So yeah, it's all coming up on next week's episode of Cycle Talk SA. Really looking forward to that one. So make sure you check out the website. And the easiest way to get the podcast is just to subscribe to it on iTunes. The link is on cycletalksa.co.za. You'll see on the right-hand side, just click on subscribe on iTunes. It's free, and the podcast will get sent to whatever device you're using, whether it's an Apple iPad, an iPod. You don't even need an Apple. If you've got a PC and you want to download it straight to your PC, just get iTunes on your computer and subscribe to it through iTunes. It's as simple as that. While you're doing that, though, if I could ask you a massive favor, if you wouldn't mind just leaving us a star rating and a review. We've got quite a few this week. I said last week we'd read out a few names. I'll tell you what, I'll save it for next week. So if you can, just leave us a star rating and a review, and let us know what you think of the podcast. What that does is it helps other people find Cycle Talk SA on the platform, and just spreads the words of cycling here in South Africa. So from myself, Brad Brown, as always, tweet us at Cycle Talk SA, Facebook us. You can get to facebook.com/Cycle Talk SA, or alternatively, just pop me an email, podcast@cycletalksa.co.za. Until next week, have yourself a great one. We'll chat soon. Cheers.